Let's turn our Bibles to the 15th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin reading in verse 25. We're on lesson 10 this week in volume 2 of the Parables of the Lord Jesus, the greatest stories ever told. And you notice the title of lesson 10 is The Lost Son Who Never Left Home. Last week we talked about the prodigal son, the one who went into the far country. But if you remember from the story, the Bible says a certain man had two sons, and the Lord does not leave us in want to finding out what happened to this other son. He gives us his story as well. And we'll read that story in Luke chapter 15, beginning verse 25. The Bible says, Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out, and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. As we began reading the 15th chapter of the book in Luke last week, the first two verses we found the audience of the Lord Jesus and the giving of this parable. The Bible says in verse 1, Then drew near to him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. So the publicans and sinners drew near, desiring to hear what the Lord Jesus had to say. But there's another crowd there as well. Verse 2 says, And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. So the publicans and the sinners are desiring to hear the Lord Jesus. The Pharisees and the scribes are sitting alongside listening. They're a part of the audience as well. And we find that the Lord Jesus ends up addressing both parts of his audience. You remember from last week that we talked about this parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son. It's just one parable, it says in verse 3, And he spake this parable unto them. This one parable unfolds in three parts. And the first part is about the lost sheep, one out of 100 lost. We see a picture of the Son of God seeking after the lost sheep until he found it. Then we see the picture or the part of the parable dealing with the lost coin, 1 out of 10 coins that this woman had. 1 out of 10 was lost, and she lit a candle and searched diligently until she found that one coin. That's a picture of the Holy Spirit of God searching after us, searching in love for our souls. And then we see a picture of the Father and the story of the prodigal son, or more appropriately, the story of the loving Father, because this first son is desiring his inheritance, and then we see him taking that inheritance into the far country, the Bible says, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. Finally, he came to himself, and when he went back to give himself as a servant to his father, we know that the father ran out and embraced him and kissed him and did not receive him as a servant, but as a son. It's a beautiful picture of the Heavenly Father and the love of God. The love of the Son in the story of the lost sheep, the love of the Holy Spirit in the story of the lost coin, the love of the Father in the story of this lost son. But the other son is addressed as well. And this is the lost son who never left home. He was in a far country, not geographically speaking, but in his own self-righteousness, he was lost in the far country. His heart was far from the heart of his father. And we're going to see that. I want us to consider, first of all, the condition of the elder brother. The condition of the elder brother. Notice it says that as he came in from the field, in verse 26, he called one of his servants. He heard the music and he heard the dancing, and he called the servant to ask what this music and what this dancing meant. And the servant told him that his brother had been found, that his brother was received safe and sound. The fatted calf had been killed. And the Bible says in verse 28, And he was angry and would not go in. His father had to come out now and deal with him. Certainly his younger brother had been on the heart of the father for such a long time, evidently. But this older brother had things to deal with as well. And the father comes out to deal with him. And notice some expressions here that help us to see the condition of this elder brother. And I'm afraid that too often, as we look in this story, we see the younger son, we see the father, we see the elder brother. I'm afraid that too often we as Christians line up more with this elder brother than with anyone else in the story. Look what he said in verse 29. He answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends." He said, "Thou never gavest me a kid," not a fatted calf. He said, "Daddy, you never even killed a little goat for me. You never invited my friends over. We never had any party. And here I've kept your commandments. I've done everything that you told me to do. I've performed every duty that I'm supposed to perform. And yet you've never thrown a party in my honor, not even with just the killing of a little kid." And there's a jealousy, there's an anger that the Bible talks about. Look what he says in verse 30. This is almost heartless. As he speaks to his father, he said, "But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf." He would not even call him his brother. He looked at his father and said, "This is your son." It was just heartless. And I just have the feeling that when the Lord Jesus was telling this parable, and this part of the parable, it was looking directly at these Pharisees, because they were murmuring and complaining that the Lord Jesus had received these publicans and sinners by his side. They were griping. They could not rejoice over these publicans and sinners coming to the Lord Jesus. And so we notice a couple things about this older brother. He really represents the Pharisaical heart. He was lost in the far country in his own self-righteousness. He looked at himself and thought, "Well, I've done everything I'm supposed to do." But yet his heart was far away from the heart of his father. We notice a couple things. We notice, first of all, he could not rejoice in the salvation of a lost soul. I mean, here his brother was gone, and now he's found. Now he's back safe and sound. But he could not rejoice. We've come to a bad place in our Christian lives. We've come to a pharisaical attitude when we cannot rejoice of the salvation of lost souls. There's nothing more precious on the face of the earth than to see some soul come to Christ. And yet so often we murmur and gripe about everything else and worry about our own selves, and we're looking inward and we're not even looking at the work that God's doing in other people's lives. That's self-righteousness. That's a pharisaical attitude. And that means we're lost in the far country, right in the place where we're in. I notice something else. Notice here in verse 30, he says, "Which hath devoured thy living with harlots." You know what he was worried about? He was worried about the fact this son had lost all that money. Now, the younger son would have received about half as much as the inheritance of the older brother, but he had wasted all of his daddy's money. And this elder brother was more concerned about things than he was about people. And friends, that's the second mark of Phariseeism right there. More concerned about material things and more concerned about material benefits and even about people. You know how to tell if someone has a Pharisaical attitude? You know how to tell if we have a Pharisaical self-righteous spirit? All we have to do is look at how we treat other people. And we treat people less than we treat things, then we know that we're filled with self-righteousness. We notice one other thing, and that is this, that he equated his worth with his behavior. Can you see him saying, "Daddy, I've always done everything you told me to do. I've never disobeyed your commandments, neither transgressed I at any time thee. I served you." It's interesting, the son wanted to come back and be a servant. Here the elder brother saying, "I am your servant. I've done everything. I've crossed every T and dotted every I." But you cannot equate your worth with your behavior. That's the wrong thing to do. Other people may not behave exactly as you behave, but your behavior does not make you right with God. Your behavior does not make you spiritual. Your behavior does not make you worth more to God than somebody else. And we start looking at ourselves that way and thinking, "Well, we're worth more because we do certain things." That's just not true, friends. That's Phariseeism. That's self-righteousness. That's being the elder brother. And this is the condition of the elder brother. I want you to know, secondly, in the parable, the compassion of the father. You know, this elder brother kept the father's law, but he did not have the father's heart. He did not have the father's heart at all. It's almost as if two opposites are standing there talking when this father comes outside and speaks to this elder brother. He did not have his father's heart because his father was concerned about the lost soul coming home. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 6, we read that the Bible says we're to serve God in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of letter. Now, certainly we're to be holy people. Certainly there are do's and don'ts in the Christian life. But we need to have a heart for God and a passion for the souls of men. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 6, the Bible says, "The letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life." Now, there was nothing wrong with the older brother going to work every day. There's nothing wrong with the older son doing what he's supposed to do. And there's nothing wrong with his order, his routine, his service. But he lived in a far country right at home, because his far country was his own self-righteousness. He didn't have the heart of the Father. Look at the heart of the Father. It says in verse 31, "And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." You see how tenderly this father is dealing with this son? I would say if it were you or me going out to meet this elder brother, you know, we would just kind of want to tell him to grow up. We kind of want to slap him around and tell him a few things, and just kind of tell him off. And say, look, why don't you just get your heart right? Why don't you just get on board here? I mean, your younger brother is back safe and sound. He's alive. He's well. He's back at home. And there are a lot of things that we'd like to say to him. But the father did not deal with him harshly or abruptly. The truth is he dealt with him just as tenderly as he dealt with the younger son coming back. Why? Because he loved the Pharisee just as much as he loved the publican. And that's what the Lord Jesus is telling these Pharisees. It's hard to love somebody who's a hypocrite. It's hard to love somebody who's self-righteous. It's hard to love somebody who cannot rejoice in the salvation of souls. And you know what? We are unlovely so often when we display this spirit. But yet we have to remember the compassion of the Father. Yet he still loves us, and he still wants to deal with us. And he still wants us to have his heart and to develop his heart and his passion for souls. And then look at the last thing here. Notice the conclusion of the matter. The condition of the brother is seen. The compassion of the father is seen. And then we see the conclusion of the whole matter. In chapter 15, again, verse 31, notice what the father said. Very simply, "Son, thou art ever with me. Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine." The truth is, we spend our lives thinking about what we can get from God. But God just says, look, isn't it enough that thou art ever with me? Isn't it enough that you have me, that you have my presence? And we have to come to the place in life, in conclusion, we just have to come to the place where we walk so near the Lord Jesus that our happiness and our joy and our satisfaction is found all in him and in who he is. Not just in trying to get something from him. Not just saying, well, Lord, what about what I've done? Don't I deserve? No, that's a self-righteous attitude. It's just looking in the face of Jesus and always looking at Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and finding our satisfaction and our joy in him. Isn't it enough that we have him? Because the truth is, if we have him, then we are joint heirs with Jesus. If we have him, we have everything when we have him. And just having him is enough. Just having him is enough to stop the murmuring and the complaining and the self-righteous spirit, and just to look unto him and find all the joy and happiness that we ever need in life just in being with him. This is the parable of the lost son who never left home. It was really directed toward these Pharisees, but I think we see it's directed toward us as well. We can apply it to our own lives. Let's pray together. Lord, bless us. Teachers, teach this lesson this week and guide each one, and may hearts be stirred. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.